We will begin today in Romans chapter 4, at the beginning of the chapter, Romans chapter 4. Our objective, remember our theme for the year, redeeming the time. In other words, making best use of our time in serving the Lord. Today, our objective is to glorify God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your purpose, for saving us and calling us not according to our works, but according to your purpose, that we should be to the praise of your glory. Help us to understand what this means and how we can do it. Guide us through this study, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us have what we have because we worked for it. We did work and we used our labor as a means of exchange. We exchanged our labor for a wage or a salary or some manner of compensation, exchange being a key word there. On the other hand, we are also familiar with the concept of giving and receiving of gifts, birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, various times of the year we give gifts to one another, and we haven't worked for those gifts at all. We haven't done anything for them, purely a gift. And it's customary for us to be grateful for those gifts. Those two concepts are significant for our study this morning. Keep them in mind as we go through this material. First of all, on the one hand, we are told by Scripture not to work, because work is not spiritually profitable. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory or boast, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, his faith, was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, our spiritual debt to God increases as we attempt to earn salvation by works. Instead of decreasing, it only increases. Now, our spiritual debt to God begins when we are born physically. In fact, when we are conceived in the womb. Psalm 51, verse 5, David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Our debt continues to increase with everything we do prior to salvation. Go over to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Not only have we inherited sin from Adam, but we have all sinned. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses." There was no Mosaic law between creation of Adam and the time that God gave the law to Moses, to Israel. But everybody between those two events died, because even over them, it says in verse 14, "that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." So even though those people had not committed exactly the same sin that Adam had committed in the beginning. There are lots of other sins to commit, and every sin is equally consequential to the sin that Adam committed. And so, back to Romans chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt." You're familiar with Romans chapter 6, verse 23, just over a page or two, where it says, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, the word reward in Romans 4:4 and the word wages in Romans 6:23 are synonyms. They're different words, but they're synonyms. We have different words that mean relatively the same thing in English. Wages and salary and pay and income, all of those things sort of refer to the same thing, but they're different words. You have the same thing in the Bible language, reward and wages. And so in Romans 4:4, to him that worketh, he's looking for an exchange. The person that's working wants an exchange, his work for salvation. But unfortunately, what he gets in exchange for his work is more debt. Thus, salvation is not by works. You know the verses? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." Not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27 asks the question, where is boasting then? When do we get to boast? We don't. We never do. It is excluded, Romans 3:27 says. Boasting is excluded. By what law? The law of works? No. Nay. By the law of faith. Some claim that faith is a work. The Calvinists will claim that faith is a work. They would liken it to an artist who paints a picture, and when it's finished, he signs it, in essence saying, "I did that." But God declares that faith is not a work. Faith and work are two entirely different things. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth." Do you see how he puts work and believing in direct contrast to one another? To him that worketh not, but believeth. Salvation is solely by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8. You know the verse. If you want to look at it on the page, Ephesians 2, 8. "For by grace through faith." For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By grace, the means by which salvation is given. That's what the grace is. The grace of God is the means by which he gives salvation. Grace is really like a box, a present, all wrapped in nice, and there's something inside of it. And when he gives you his grace, you open it up, and what do you have? Salvation. It's a wonderful present. Through faith. Faith is the channel through which we receive the gift of God, the grace of God. Grace, the means by which it is given. Faith, the means by which we receive it. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." What is it? Is faith the it, and faith the gift of God? Or is grace the it and the gift of God? Well, here again we have some synonyms. The word grace is Strong's number 5485. The word gift, as you would find it in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the gift of God is eternal life, is Strong's number 1435. They're different words, but again, it's the same as if we would say in English, a gift or a present. Don't both of those words communicate basically the same thing? So the present is the gift of God. The present is His grace, and it's His gift to us. Faith is merely a privilege. We are granted by God the privilege to believe. And therefore, there is no need to work in order to obtain salvation. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith through Jesus Christ. Now, don't be shaken by the word by there. The word by here in this verse has the same Strong's number as the word through in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So he says, even the righteousness of God, which is by or through faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, God offers salvation unto everyone. And upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. God gives salvation to everyone who believes. It's offered to everyone, and it's given to everyone who believes. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. We do not work to obtain salvation because we cannot do enough to earn it. There can be no exchange of works for salvation because we have nothing that is of high enough value to meet the necessary exchange. I was curious how much labor is worth, and I found that the average wage of all workers in the United States as of March 2022, and this is all over the whole country, places where it's, you know, the cost of living is very high and places where it's very low, the average wage of all workers in the U.S. as of this March was $27.06 per hour. Because if you live in New York City and you have to pay $3,000 a month for a studio apartment, you need a high wage. But that amount per hour works out to $56,284.80 per year. Sounds like a lot of money. So I was curious, how much would that wage allow you? How much of a house would that wage allow you to buy? And I found that on that amount of income, you could afford to buy a house worth $185,000 a year if you're willing to pay $1,400 per month for 30 years. then I got to thinking, you know, we sing that song, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. How much is, and Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for it. I wonder how much a mansion in heaven would cost. And I got to thinking, if the streets are made out of gold, what are the mansions made out of? And what would it cost to buy one of those houses? But here's the catch. There's an entrance fee. You know, there are a lot of senior retirement communities like Country Meadows and Cross Keys Village and New Oxford and Cornwall Manor. You have to pay a fair amount of money up front to get in. And then you pay a monthly fee to stay there. Do you know what it costs to get in heaven? Pure blood. Who has it? Do any of you? No. Only one. Jesus paid his blood so that we could have entrance into heaven. And guess what? When you get there, the mansions are free. We obtain salvation by not working, but by believing. And then, once we are saved, he tells us to work. Let me run down through these verses for you so we don't flip a lot. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, he purified unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus chapter 3, verse 14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto, guess what? Good works. Titus chapter 2, verse 7, and in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. So, if work cannot earn our salvation, but once we are saved, we are supposed to work, what is the reason for our work after we are saved? I suggest to you there are two reasons. Number one, we are motivated to good works out of gratitude for what Jesus did for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Then this interesting question is asked in verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? Did you know there's a sting to death? The word used here is the same word in Bible language that refers to the sting of bees. Have you ever been stung by a bee? Anybody allergic to those stings? That could be fatal. Bee stings hurt. What's the sting of death? In the words of the rich man in Luke chapter 16 and verse 24, "Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." That's the sting of death. The torment you experience when you go to hell. And Jesus delivered us from the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15:55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is what Jesus Christ did for us, and we ought to be thankful. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" When you're born again, your spirit is born. Your spirit comes alive unto God. Your body continues to be subject to the consequences of the sin nature, and your body can still die. That's the body of this death. Who's going to deliver us from the body of this death? Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin." Through our Lord Jesus Christ, that's how we will be delivered from the body of this death. Back to 1 Corinthians 15:54, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." In other words, we're delivered from the body of this death. In another place, Romans chapter 8, verses 22 and 23, which is just over a page from where you are in Romans 7. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together till now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves." Why? We're in the body of this death. Oh, but we're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. One of these days, Jesus is going to leave heaven. He's going to come through the vast universe, and he's going to stop on a cloud just above the earth. And he's going to bring with him all of our loved ones who are in Christ and have been in heaven, some of them for a long time. He's going to bring Peter and John and Paul. He's going to bring your grandparents, your loved ones. They're all going to come. And he's going to bring some angels. And one of them's going to have a trumpet. And one of them's going to blow that trumpet. And when you hear that trumpet, you're going to be with the Lord in the air and delivered from the body of this death. That's what Jesus did for us. And we ought to be thankful. But on the other hand, The objective of all our good works as Christians is to glorify God. I read this verse at the beginning of the service, 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. The next word is therefore. Because you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Would you go to Ephesians chapter 1, please, and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, and he lists for us 7-8 things that God has done for us. Number one is in verse 3 here. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Let that sink in for a moment. Number two, in verse 4, he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Number three, in verse 5, he has predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Predestination always relates to glorification. Predestination does not relate to salvation. Predestination relates to glorification. It says here, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. What did Romans chapter 8, verse 23 tell us about adoption? It said, waiting for the adoption, to wit, that is the redemption of our body. The adoption is the redemption of our body. That's glorification. Predestination always relates to glorification. I thought I'd clarify that. Now, these three things he's done to this purpose in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Then number 4 in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Number 5 in verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Number 6 in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And then in those two verses, verses 9 and 10, he describes to us what his plan is for the future. Number 7 is in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. God has determined we will be glorified. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Number 8 in verse 13, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Unto the purpose, the praise of his glory. We don't work to obtain salvation, but after we're saved, we are to work out of gratitude for what Jesus has done for us, and so that everything that we do brings glory to God. How do we glorify God? In good works. I thought of the proverbial helping the old lady across the street as a good work. Any of you ever do that? We use that kind of as a proverb, helping the old lady across the street. Imagine you see an elderly lady standing on a street corner. She's trying to process the traffic pattern so that she can find an opening and cross the street. You see this. And you know that even when she starts across the street, her steps are going to be small and it's going to take her a while. So you go to the lady and offer her your help. You help her across the street, helping her to avoid the traffic and getting her safely to the other side. She turns to you and says, "Thank you." and you respond, "Praise the Lord, ma'am. I helped you because I am thankful for the way God helped me." What have you done? You have deflected praise. Now, there's nothing wrong with complimenting folks for the good things they do. Nothing wrong with expressing your thoughts about them doing good things. But when someone tells you that you've done something good, what do you do with that? Do you absorb it? And the more praise you absorb, what effect will that have on your heart? Lift you up? Puff you up? No, when praise comes your way, give praise to others. And that's their responsibility. But when praise comes your way, let it bounce off of you and deflect it to God, so that he may receive the glory. Consider all that Jesus Christ has done for you. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us his righteousness. He delivered us from the sting of death. He guaranteed we would be delivered from the body of this death. He bought us with the price of his blood. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He predetermined that as believers, our bodies would be glorified. He redeemed us through his blood. He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He made known unto us the mystery of his will regarding his plan for the future. He promised us an inheritance in our glorified bodies. He sealed us with his Holy Spirit, guaranteeing that all he has promised, he will do. Jesus has done all of that for us. How grateful are you? Are you grateful enough to say thank you to him? Are you grateful enough to do good works so that you can point people to him? Are you grateful enough that you want your life to glorify God? Are you grateful enough to tell people to give God the praise? Can you say, "Praise the Lord" in public? When you're eating a meal in public, do you bow your head and thank the Lord? Can you only do that in the privacy of your home? How grateful are you? Will you let your life glorify him out of gratitude for what he's done for you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you have done for us. We are so undeserving, but Lord, I trust we'll be grateful. Grateful enough that we will use our lives to glorify you. Work in each of us that it might be so. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.